scripture reading tonight will be from Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
All right, good evening. Good to see everybody. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We're going to talk about that this evening, this text this evening. And what it means to us, what it means to God, what it means to someone that has not obeyed Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The scriptures say in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. I want to focus your attention this evening on the simplicity of that text. I want you to think about that. Have you ever been in a situation where you've asked directions? And 100 years ago when I worked for UPS, that's all I ever did. I asked directions, it's for GPS, for anything. They send you on a route blind, and they would tell you a guy that might know some people. You'd stop at their house, you'd ask directions. But have you ever been like, you know, when your GPS pumps out, or you're somewhere, and you want to know where the post office is, or the boat ramp, or whatever, and you pull up to a guy and you say, hey, can you tell me where the boat ramp is? And he says, you go down here 2 blocks, and you make a left. Whenever I do that, I'm reminded the first time I was ever in a UPS car, the guy that was the supervisor driving with me, he said, the next stop, you need to go down here and take a right and then make a left. Anyway, I love a guy that says, 2 blocks, make a left, go 2 more blocks, and you know what, if you see the school, you went too far, you need to come back. I like those directions. I like somebody to give me plain, simple, easy understanding directions. As opposed to coming up to the guy and saying, hey, can you tell me where the boat ramp is? Yeah, you go down here where that oak tree is. Is that thing still there? I used to fish down by that oak tree. And there's a fence. The guy had a gate there. It's what? I just want to go to the boat ramp. So there's a different way to receive instruction. I just can't stand it. Just give me a break and tell me where the boat ramp is. I like it when it's clear, I like it when it's uncomplicated, I like straightforward direct. Now, fortunately for us, you and I, God's instructions is not difficult to understand. They're very simple to understand. They're very straightforward. They're utterly understandable. Everything in God's Word is completely doable. Now, there are some books, and we talked a little bit about some things, maybe that we might have to dig a little deeper this morning's lesson. Revelation's a hard read. Hebrews is a tough read. Romans, I struggle with Romans a lot. There's some things in there that you just can't skim over and say, yeah, I've got that down pat. I know what that is. There's some things that you might spend some time on, but most of God's commands, when it comes to obedience to God, those commands about what is right, what is wrong, what we must do, what we must not do, is completely understandable in the Word of God. God is looking for us to render to Him simple obedience. And that's two words I want you to think about this evening. Really, the key term this evening, simple obedience. And He makes it possible for us to understand what that means. God makes that possible for everyone in this room to understand what that means. He's very clear in that. He gets very clear in instruction. My question is, why then don't people obey that? Why don't people obey the simple instructions of God? And I look at it, and there's nothing in here about some physical task, that you've got to bench press 800 pounds, or that you've got to raise $50 million. That's not in there. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That takes away your sins. You need to stop sinning, turn to the Lord, be immersed in water. That's not hard to understand. That's not hard to do. And why are people doing that? If the doing isn't the trouble, then what's the trouble? We'll give you some attention this evening to the scriptures, but really what we're going to be talking about is simple obedience. We're going to be talking about why sometimes simple obedience is very difficult, can end up being difficult. To do that, I want to look at some circumstances, and in some cases in Scripture, where there's such a command, just to simply obey God. But somehow there's a hitch that gets in the get-along, and people don't, they look at it, and there's a whole lot of humming, 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 I don't know. And I look at these examples. In fact, we're going to look at some circumstances where obedience is like that. But in the end result, folks that we're going to look at, some of them did obey God. But I want to see that simple obedience sometimes can be difficult for us, a lot of times. And I want you to understand exactly where that's going. Now, there's a lot of applications that we can look at in Scripture. But specifically, I want you to keep your finger on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And there it is. You look at it. Have you done that? Have you repented of your sins and been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you done that? I want you to look at that passage. It's simple. It's straightforward. And I want to be real clear here. I'm not talking about when you baptized as a baby. And I'm not talking about when you baptized and a whole lot of people were baptized. I'm not talking about when you baptized to join a church. I'm not talking about when you baptized to tell everybody that's seen you baptized that you were saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you've done Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Have you done that? Why not? Why haven't you done that? Talk to you about that. That's what we want to talk about. Now, if you've not done that, I want you to know this is for you. That's what I'm talking about. This is for you. We're going to put this on your lap. If you have not done this is for you. You need to think about this. And just rendering simple obedience to God. Simple obedience. What gets in the way of that? Second Kings. Second Kings chapter 5. And of course, here's a fellow that had trouble with disobedience. And he had an obedience issue. Of course, I'm reading about Naaman. We know this story. We've heard about it a lot. Second Kings chapter 5. Now, the first three verses talk about Naaman's health. And he had significant health issues. Verse 1. Naaman is captain of the army of Syria. Was the king of Syria, and he was a great man with his master and highly respected. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to the king of Syria. He says the man was also a valiant warrior, but what was it? He was a leper, it says. Now, you need to know that in biblical times, that if you were a leper, this is a death sentence. This guy's got some acne. This isn't, he's got a little bit of fungus on his toenail. This man's going to die. And he's going to die in the most horrible way. So if you look at this, the stakes are really high for Naaman. Alright? And there are some struggles working all this in and out. But eventually, verse 8, we meet Elisha, the prophet of God. Elisha, prophet of God. Now, the thing about Elisha and Naaman, he is capable of healing him, and he's willing to heal him too. Now, notice what he says in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you." And he says, "You will be clean." That's pretty simple. 2 things. Go to the Jordan, and you wash 7 times. 2 things. Now that's not hard. There's not a thing in the world hard about that, is it? No, sir. No. Look at verse 11. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place, and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Should I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He was mad. He was furious. Wow, there's no obedience there from Naaman. There's none there. Despite the fact that Naaman doesn't have to have a Bible scholar here to decipher what the prophet has told him through the messenger. So we're not talking in some kind of code here. There's no hidden meaning here. The message is pretty simple what he needs to do to be cured of his leprosy. What's he struggling with? Obedience. Just simply doing what God said to do. Can you imagine being Naaman's servant? Oh, this is terrible. I can tell you what, it's terrible. If only we could understand the prophet's instructions. They're so dark and it's so mysterious. I just wish we understood what the prophet had said to do, and you could be healed of your leprosy.
Well, I think if a servant would have said that to Naaman, well, he'd have grabbed him by the collar and said, "You moron, I know what to do. I'm not going to do it."
You see that? Really?
I thought.
You see?
You think I thought in verse 11? I thought, there it is. Naaman arrived at the prophet's house with what?
Prejudices.
Preconceived idea how all this is going to go down. And when that didn't go down the way he thought it ought to go down,
oh, he was mad.
All these things he made up how this is going to work out, and it didn't go that way, how he thought it would go that way, and then reality hit, and guess what? It didn't meet his expectations about how he ought to be healed of his leprosy.
Well, what happened there?
I don't know. It was not, I guess, insufficient show.
I mean, I thought he would surely come out, verse 11.
Wait his hand. Elisha, not impressive. In fact, Elisha never showed up at all. He didn't come out. Sends out his message. Hey, tell the guy to do this, will you? He didn't come out.
Furthermore, isn't there better water than Jordan?
Huh?
Come on.
There's a lot better water than that. It didn't measure up. So what I thought could happen to save me from my leprosy. So all these preconceived ideas was in Naaman's mind when he went to get cured of his leprosy. All these prejudices, all these things he had worked out in his mind. And you know what? When he told him what to do, he only said, no, I'm not going to do that.
When you talk to people about obeying God and baptism, what do you get?
What do you get, Will?
Let me tell you what my mother said about baptism. Let me tell you what my grandpa talked about baptism. That's a word.
Well, we can't do that. That's a work. Everybody knows that.
Let me tell you what you need. When you get saved, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. There's going to be a line. And you're the only one that's going to see the line. And you're just going to feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you'll feel something. You'll feel so much weight on your heart that you're just about ready to swallow that warmness that's going to come over you when you're saved. Did you know that?
Baptism, I tell you what, I prayed, and I felt the presence of God, and I prayed.
What is that?
Do you hear?
Do you hear what I'm just saying? All those preconceived ideas about what it is to be saved, all those prejudices you've made up in your mind about what it means to be saved, without even going to God's book and seeing what His instruction is about salvation. Have you made up your mind what it means to be saved and how you're going to do it, like Naaman?
Huh? And here, I've made up my mind. I've already decided what God's instruction is about being saved. Let me tell you how I got saved, huh? When we allow our own thoughts to get in the way of God's command, suddenly, what happens? Simple obedience isn't so simple anymore, is it?
No, sir.
Verse 13. Then the servant came there and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, walk, just walk and be clean?"
Depending on your translation, I've got a couple down here. Some translate that first clause. He says, "This is not a hard thing to do, so let's go do it."
Alright.
Another one I wrote that is that this is a great word because it's doable. What's the point?
What's the point? Verse 14. So he went down, dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child.
Guess what he was?
He was clean.
Common sense service said, you know what we're about? This is about being healed. This isn't about saving faith. This isn't about all the stuff that you had in your mind, what it meant to be saved and how you're going to get saved. That's not what this is about. We're here to get healed. And man, look how easy this is. Look what it said to do.
Isn't that what we're doing when we're talking about baptism?
Aren't we talking about getting healed? Aren't we talking about becoming a Christian? Aren't we talking about being saved according to God's instructions? Aren't we talking about obeying the word of the Lord? Are we talking about putting aside all prejudices, all preconceived ideas, all of those things, putting all that history, all that false teaching away? Isn't that what we're talking about? And just simply doing what God says to do. Simple obedience. Wow. Maybe it would help. Let's go to the New Testament. If we see an example in the New Testament, the story of simple obedience given there, Matthew 14. Let's look about verse 28. No, let's look about verse 26. About Peter. Let's begin reading verse 26. Well, when the disciples saw him walking on the street, the disciples, Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified, verse 26, and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Matthew 14, verse 26. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, you command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, he said, "Come, come." Peter got out of the boat. Well, now here's a great illustration of some pretty simple stuff here. I mean, there's lots of things that could be said, and I know Peter got into some trouble there about verse 30. But the main point is in this, that I want you to focus on, is obedience. Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat. And the God said to do something, and he obeyed what God said to do. And I want you to think about that. Would you, if the Lord commanded you to get out of the boat, would you just step out of the boat? I think there'd be a lot of issues. I'm not a big fan of drowning. I don't want to drown, you know. But for Peter, that wasn't an issue. Now, what was the issue? Peter said, "Lord, is it you?" Now, he needed a response to that. Yet Peter understood that if this was the Messiah, if this was Jesus, the one who heals the sick, raises the dead, to cast out demons, feeds 5,000, if it's him, I'm going to walk to it, and I'm going to walk on water. That's all Peter needed to know. You think, you know, I looked at that. You know what I think is really tough about that? Is that Peter did this solo. He did it by himself. He didn't look over that boat and say, "Hey, y'all come." No. No, Peter. No. I want you to think if the Lord would say, "Y'all come on." Think about that. John got up. Andrew got up. Bartholomew, Thaddeus, hung the leg over the boat. Boy, his sink or swim time, we'll all do it together. We'll all go together. No, Peter did it by himself. Now, isn't it easier when we all do it together? When the majority is doing something, guess what? We just do whatever the whole crowd does. Hey, man, let's go. Let's all walk on water. No. No, that's not what happened. And I just think when we all do it, it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Obedience to God is a very, very individual matter. You know, in fact, sometimes when we hear it and we see it at camp, and, you know, I don't know if kids are emotionally ready to obey the gospel or not, 12 or 14, this kid 100, 150, I guess what happens? Emotions rise at camp, obey the Lord, obey the gospel, and you see about 15, 20 baptisms, 13. That's all right. You know, sometimes out of that, you know what you usually get out of that? A couple of years down the road, one or two of them will go, "You know what? I just don't know if I did it for the right reason. I don't know if I obeyed the Lord for the right reason." We're all down there, we're all there, you know. And I get to thinking about it. I don't know if I was just caught up in the moment. You know what? Maybe I was just doing it because everybody else was doing it. Obedience to God is a very individualized decision. There. You choose to repent. You. You choose to be baptized. You. You do that. And let's be candid about that. Even in the manage. And when we have those meetings like that, and you know, what's the rest of the world doing about salvation? Nothing. They're not being baptized. The rest of the religious world, the majority of people have done a real outstanding job about diminishing Christianity and salvation to really just make it comfortable. Just make it comfortable and meet your needs. And what does that mean for salvation? I'll tell you what it means for salvation for everybody else. Just raise your hand. Pray. Expect Jesus in your heart. That's what that means. You become a Christian, just do what? Just receive Christ. And you tell us how you've done it. When a person says, "I want to be baptized for the remission of my sins," you know what they're doing?
They are standing against the tide. They are not with the majority. They're doing what the majority does not do, does not want to do, and will not agree to do. Makes it hard. That makes it tough. So, difficult. Acts 14, you understand that when you look at that. But no one else is coming with Peter. No one else, and that makes it a little harder to get out of the boat. Now, when all of your friends are saying and believing and teaching something different than what Acts 2:38 says, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, did you know that might make it a little tougher for you to surrender simple obedience to God? We know what the Lord said. We know what we ought to do. But you know what we start to do? We start to rationalize, and we start to think, and then just, why is that? Because you're alone in this deal. Because the vast majority of your friends don't believe repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's why. Well, going at it alone. Simple obedience. Isn't that simple sometimes? My family says. My family history says. Where I go to church says. All my friends say. Simple obedience, not the sense. What a remarkable story in Matthew 14. And Peter ignored what everybody else was doing. He ignored what everybody else was saying. Come. The master said, come. He got out of the boat. He obeyed the words of the Lord. He did it. 11 other guys? Nope. What about you? What about you? Jesus said to his inspired apostle Peter, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what he said. There will always be people who will not do that. There will always be people who are never going to do that. The majority won't do that. What about you? When are you going to just simply obey the Lord? When? Tell you one more story. Joshua chapter 6. And really it emphasizes the same thing we're talking about. We read this story in Joshua chapter 6. And it's one of the most familiar Bible stories. We all know it. We read it. And really when we read it, we hardly give it a second thought because, well, that's just what it is, you know. But let's look at it. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city. All the men of war circling the city once, you shall do it for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Excuse me. And then, on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. And it shall be that when you make a long blast for the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. There's the instruction. Well, and you look at that. Now, this isn't exactly, when you think about this, a military strategy. I'm close. It's really fair. Really? This is the plan? Can you imagine when Joshua said that to these military guys? Now this, and they're saying, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're going to march around, and then about 6 or 7 times, and then flying unicorns are going to be flying everywhere, and the gates are going up, we're all going to go in and have big picnics. We need to get them ladders ready. We need to start them forts. We're going to have to take this city. That's what they're thinking. Can you imagine Joshua saying that, and maybe have a little trouble with that? This is a military campaign. This is what we're going to do. This thing doesn't have any military value at all. But you're telling us that God said, I don't care what God said. It don't make any sense. To do that, it's just almost, why would we do this? At least with Naaman, when you think about washing the Jordan and the leprosy, well, that ought to do it. That makes a little bit of sense.
This makes absolutely no sense at all what God told us to do.
You kidding me?
This ain't going to work. I want you to see again. What God told them was not complicated. It wasn't complicated and wasn't hard to understand. Nobody had to type it out in Hebrew here. I wonder what he means. We're going to walk march around this city, and then we're going to blow some trumpets, and we're going to scream real loud. These walls are going down. I just say what the text says. No big deal. And really, it was completely safe what he told them to do. No difficulty whatsoever. But guess what? It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? You ready? Because God said to do it. That's why. Because God said to do it. At its core, simple obedience rests on that right there. That's it. Why do we do what we do? Because God said to do it. That's it. And all the human thinking, all the human reasoning, what God said? My thoughts are what? Above your thoughts. You're not going to figure it out. My ways are so far above your ways. You can human reason all day long what you want to do. That's Noah's story. What? What am I doing? I'm building this boat in the middle of this field. I need sea legs. How does that make sense? God said to do it. Abraham's raising the knife. He's going to judge his only son. Does that make sense? The seed is promised. Does this make sense? God said to do it. That's its core simple obedience. Luke chapter 5. Let's look at this. Peter's a professional fisher. He's been fishing all night. Jesus arrives on the scene. Luke chapter 5. And he says, let's do a little fishing. Peter says, I don't think that's going to work out, Lord. Luke 5, verse 5. Simon answered and said, Master, we have worked hard all night. We've caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let the nets down. At your word. At your word. That's it. That's simple obedience. God said to do it. I'm going to do it. Now, sometimes when we talk about baptism, what do we talk about? Romans 6. Beautiful picture of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Beautiful. Galatians chapter 3, Paul talks about being immersed in water, added to the church, baptized into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. Paul talks to the Colossian brethren about an operation going on, a circumcision of the heart that goes on when you commit that act of obedience. There's things going on about this, and we talk about that, and we put all that together about walking in newness of life. I'm going to say to you, sometimes that's good. We need teaching on that. And we need to think about that, and we really need to reason with all that. But you know what? We can talk about that till the cows come home, and not in a million years sometimes, but it makes sense to anybody why God wants you to do it. How long do you think, and you look at Joshua, how long do you think he spent time explaining what to the Israelites, this is what we need to do here, and we're going, why do we need to do this? Why do we need to explain anything about it? God said to do it. I'm going to do it. That ends all the conversation. That ends everything about it. Think about that. And you know what? I don't think any of us in our wildest imagination, in our human reason, to go, yeah, I'm going to talk about salvation. Here's how salvation is. Let's be baptized. Let's do water. Let's do something about it. What? Well, we wouldn't make anything up like that. We wouldn't make that up in a million years. That has nothing to do with our reasoning. Well, it just seems foolish, doesn't it? Well, it seems just about as foolish as those walls coming down, doesn't it? Verse 20, Joshua chapter 6. So the people shouted, the priest blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up and city, and every man straight ahead. And they took that city. Wow. God bless them. God used simple obedience to do what? To complete His will. To accomplish His will. What He wanted done. And it didn't matter what we thought about it. It didn't make a bit of difference what Israel thought about it. They obeyed it. Can I say to you this evening, if you think baptism is silly, and you think baptism for the remission of sins is silly, do you know that God don't care? He don't care what you think. He don't care what you think about that. It's not significant in His eyes. Your thoughts, my thoughts, do not change what God has clearly said. At your word. That's what we need to do.
But sometimes human reason gets in the way, doesn't it? A simple obedience to God. When will you obey God? When will you obey God? When? I'm always thankful when I stop and ask for direction. I get clear direction. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a lot more thankful that the direction for salvation and how I can have my sins forgiven is so crystal clear. I'm thankful to God. There's nothing complex about it. There's not a thing complex about it. It's so simple. And you can figure it that they're direct, they're straightforward, they're doable. What's there in some code that we have to decipher? It's not there. What God said to do through His inspired apostle Peter is so plain, it's so simple. What did He say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Do not let the prejudice of your life, the preconceived ideas of your life, the experiences of your life this evening prevent you from repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Do not worry about what your neighbor, your friends, past church members are going to say about you, talk about you. The majority of the people, do not let that get in your way of repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Do not let your opinion about baptism get in the way. If you think it's goofy, stop. It's what God commanded. At His word, I will obey the command. When are you going to obey God? This evening, right now, you have the opportunity, a Christian. Right now. You can repent of your sin. You can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sin. And for the first day in your life, you will be a Christian where all spiritual blessings are, and you will be a member of the only church that the Lord ever bought with His blood tonight. We're inviting you to do that. We are inviting you to do that right now. Simple obedience. Don't let something foolish stop you from obeying the Lord tonight. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Please come as together we sing the invitation song.